Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Spin It Social Hour. My name is Stefan Kaplan, and it is absolutely wonderful to have everybody here this morning. I hope that everyone is doing well. I know that this is an incredibly tough time for us all, and I just want you to know that my thoughts are with everyone every single day. The Spin It Social Hour is a labor of love born out of care and concern for my photo community, for our photo community. When this COVID crisis hit, I decided as a social media and visual strategist who's worked with the likes of the Pulitzer Prizes, AARP, Encore.org, and I also work hand in hand all the time with my dear colleague and great friend, Sri Srinivasan, who many of you know. And so when this COVID crisis hit, rule number one, folks, I'm not going to bother you with this, but sorry. Happens. I turned off my notifications. When this COVID crisis hit, I decided that I was going to put together a show that was going to highlight the journey and the work of photographers all around the world every week. So every week I bring on a new photographer with a new story and new work, and I let you learn about them because we need to help our photo community because they have been hit tremendously hard by all of this, by this crisis. So today's guest is the incredible, she's just marvelous, Simi Joyce, and I can't wait to bring her on. But before I do, I want to do something that broke my heart last night. I wanted to bring up a photo for a second, and I'm going to take myself off screen here for a second to do him justice. Everybody. Okay. So on that note, just had to do that this morning, folks. So I want to give Simi the buildup that she deserves. So I am going to show you a wonderful slideshow of her work that I put together. Please enjoy it. And then we will welcome her on the Spin It Social Hour. Simi Joyce found her calling in photography. Raised in an art-emphasized home, she subconsciously trained her mind to engage creatively with color, texture, light, shadow, and composition. Simi uses photographic images as her canvas and the lens as her brush. In the words of author Monica Bidet, Simi is an alchemist. Her photographs inspire poetry, prose, and nurture the spirit. I have worked with her for over 10 years. Her photographs adorn the cover of my books. Their elegance and grace aspires me to become a better writer. Her photography is pure magic. So with that ending, what beautiful words from Monica, I bring on the wonderful Simi Joyce. Hello, Simi.
Hi, Stephen. Thank you so much for having me on the show. And you know, I'm so grateful for what you're doing for the community because Saturday morning you could be spending time with your family, but you spend hours and hours going through my portfolio, putting the slideshow together, having me on the show, promoting my work over social media, and so many hours and so much time you've put in. I'm absolutely grateful. Thank you so much.
You know the old saying, right, Simi, when you love what you do? So I need more of what I do. You know, we all need more work these days. It's been a struggle lately for all of us, including myself. But when I started this project, I wanted to stick with it. So as I continue to look for more work and bring in, you know, jobs right now and everything else, I'm putting myself out there to the world once again. So know that world. But we're here today for you. So it is just really exciting to have you here. You know, I've been a big fan of yours for a while because I'm always chiming in with you online about your work and sharing it and hearting it and liking it. You're just so talented. So Claudia Paul, our guest from last week, is here. Good morning, Claudia. Wonderful guest. And so let's get right to it, Simi, because you know it's a tight hour always, and I don't want to waste time with my stuff. I want to get to you. Let me get to. Sorry, I have everything right here. First, let's talk about your journey, Simi. What got you interested in photography? How did this come about? I mean, you're so talented. Please tell us about your journey a bit.
So initially, I really struggled to find my calling. I'm an MBA in marketing. I worked for an ad agency for a long time. I didn't like my job. And it was just a struggle working a 9-to-7 desk job, though it was creative, but it was not enough for me to express myself because I was a media planner. Mm-hmm. And then for some time, I was a stay-at-home mom because I had a child and she was growing up, and I enjoyed that immensely. But when she was somewhere in late elementary and early middle school, I started realizing I need to do something.
Okay.
I started doing sketches and paintings, and those still could not satisfy me as much. Okay. And then at the same time, it was coincidental that, and just by chance, what happened was I said, let me document all the recipes because I love to cook.
Okay.
And I said, let me take just a picture and try doing that. And when I took a couple of pictures, I was like, this is not how my dish looks. It looks much better live. Mm-hmm. So then I started exploring and learning about photography. Mm-hmm. And I just fell in love with the art. I just fell head over heels in love. And ever since then, I'm smitten by photography, and you know, finally found my calling.
Well, it shows from your work. So tell people, everybody, where you're originally from, where your family's from, your background a little, so everybody knows.
So I'm from India. I grew up in India, and my mom is an artist, mm-hmm. and so is my sister. And my dad was a scientist. However, he also wanted to be an artist, but he couldn't draw. It's the same thing with me. I can't draw as well as my mom and my sister. So I come from a very art emphasis home. So color and paints and mm-hmm. threads and everything has always been at home. It's not something new to me. And right. the discussion on coffee table used to be always about my mother's art and critiquing her work as a family. Mm-hmm. So it just got inbuilt into me how to view things differently as an artist. Mm-hmm.
So, well, you know, I mean, and then food obviously was a part of you and everybody's growing up. I mean, in different families, whatever culture you're from. Right. But, you know, Indian food is just so amazing. I mean, I used to live in Jersey City. Mm-hmm. And in Jersey City, there's a huge Indian community, mm-hmm. and especially in what they call Little India in the Jersey section, in a deep section there. And I used to go there, and I tell you, I mean, the food is just amazing. So I love Indian food. And obviously, you love capturing all sorts of food, but including Indian food.
Absolutely.
So, Simi, I lost that. What's your favorite, you know, this is kind of silly for me to ask, but in terms of food and everything else within that category, what's your favorite thing to photograph? And, you know, I had the question up there, sorry, and it disappeared. And what's the one subject that you're most passionate about within food? We obviously know it's food because that's what we're here for. And still life. Tell us, please.
So for me, I think not so much the subject, but the light is something that really, you know, gets me all giddy and excited. It's just the way the light hugs the subject and the shadow and light merge into creating the form the subject has. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. You know, just the mystery of how the form translates into our eyes and makes it a vision.
Yeah.
And makes it, you know, how we see.
Well, so, you know, go ahead, please, please, go ahead.
Just that magic of light making vision and, you know, that romance of viewing things and emotionally associating and how light is involved in that just makes me, just fall in love with photography.
Well, you know, you use of course, you're going to use the right word. It's what you do. But there really is a romance between you and food and the camera going on because, you know, capture the elegance, the beauty, the textures, the colors, and then you style everything. That's a huge part of this, which we'll get into, the food styling and the props and finding the right foods and making sure they're in season, the fruits and the vegetables. Wow, what a job. And but so fascinating, you know. And I want to immediately, as we talk about a lot of these things, because I have so many photos I put together, I want, as Jonathan shows a lot of comments and other questions and things, is I want to go straight to the slideshow. So, you know, it's amazing. I mean, you photographed for books, for magazines. I mean, I love that, you know, the photos adorn these covers of these magazines, like Spices. This is an Indian magazine, correct?
Actually, Stephen, this is just a collage I made, and I made it have a magazine look. This
Oh, okay.
is a real magazine.
Oh,
So
okay.
I gave it that look because I like to play around with graphics.
Oh, okay.
So,
But we know you've been published in many, many things and everything. Rather than go through all those, I'd rather just get to the beautiful work that people are here for. So quickly, what attracts you more? I mean, obvious, is it color or black and white, or is it both?
I think coming from India, its color attracts me the most because, again, I'll talk about light because it's just the wavelength of light and the treatment of light with color. If, red with shadows look more beautiful and yellow with more light looks more beautiful. So it's just amazes me how, different colors in different light look so different.
Oh man, you are so good. I'm sorry, I'm going to say this a million times during the show, but the color, the tones, the rich tones that you capture. But there's elements to this, obviously, that people don't even realize. There's creating all these mood boards, as you would call them, probably, and all these background canvases. So tell us about that as I go through some of these, because I put together these special collages for you.
Sure. So these are mood boards that I paint myself, and that's the best painting I have ever done, coming from a house full of painters. So I have one right here, if you know. So it looks something like this. And it looks different in different lights. So you can see a lot of blues and greens here. And it's so I'm
Now,
planning to
is that on regular, is that on regular wood? I mean, is there a special wood that you paint on?
No, it's just regular scrap wood that I bought from Home Depot. There, from their clearance section, whatever was available, I get those. And in fact, a lot of people have been asking me and to do a workshop on mood boards, paint them. And the paint are also the regular paint. As you can see in the picture, there's a little cans that you get as tester paints for your wall.
I see those.
Yeah, that's what they are.
So how much do they cost? I'm curious.
$5.
Really? That's all?
That's all. And
Wow.
board itself, if it's in clearance, it's not more than 10 bucks.
And does a little can like that cover the entire board, like that size that that I have on the screen right now?
Yeah, actually more than that size because you have two, three colors going on. So you can have at least three or four canvas done with that. That's small, at least, but you need two or three colors to go with it.
Folks, I just wanted to tell you, as we're doing this broadcast and this Spin It Social Hour with Simi Joyce, I wanted to let you know that we're going to be showing her website below. So please make note of her website, her Instagram handles, her blog, her Adobe stock, which we'll get to. I mean, that is something that you have stock in it. Not stock in Adobe, but you might have stock in Adobe, but Adobe stock photos. And so I want to make sure that we get it clear here, and that people can sign up with you for these courses. We'll talk all about that, but let me get back over here. And I love this pink that you painted. What a hot, beautiful pink that is. So what kind of food would you put in front of that pink?
So the pink board was painted for actually vanilla bean. They
Vanilla
wanted
bean?
The client wanted the vanilla bean on a very bright, backdrop. Yeah. And then I have used it for coffee bean, and I have used it for, I think, spices.
Okay.
To bring out, the some color in all those monochromatic kind of colors.
Right. So one of the things I want to tell people also is that, folks, we'll be taking questions at about the 10:30 mark, 10:35 mark. We will get to everybody's comments and questions. So please share this broadcast so your friends and family can see it and your network. Let's help Simi, get her name out there, get her work out there. So please see that share button on Facebook or Twitter, whatever you're on. Hit that share button, retweet it. Don't, just put your finger near it. Hit it, okay? And we want to make sure that we get Simi's name out there. So let me get to some of the other beautiful work here. Wow, look at this. I mean, how you use these boards you paint and the beautiful breads that you position and the figs. I love figs, by the way.
Me too. Big fan.
Yeah, look at this. I mean, so what goes into putting these together like this, Simi?
So I think it's, at first I did struggle as when I started photography, I didn't know how to place them. Because mm-hmm. for me, you're moving from a multidimensional world to a two-dimensional world.
Okay.
How is that translating, and how do you bring the various dimensions from a multidimensional into a two-dimensional kind of framework? Mm-hmm. So at first it was trial and error, keep trying it. Then I went and studied a bit on, and this is all self-study, about rules of composition. What is really a composition, and mm-hmm. why is it that sometimes some of the images are liked by so many people? It's not a coincidence that so many people like it.
Right.
It's because there's some thinking that's gone behind the creation. Right. And doing that, I self-taught and self-learned. And once you get it, then it becomes your second nature. Then you're not thinking and doing it.
Okay.
That's when you probably integrate with the art.
I'm going to do the social media thing the way you do the photography and mood thing, and just ask you to center yourself a bit more on the camera. You on camera, so just move over just a bit because you're a little over to the right. The other way, just a little more centered. There you go, perfect. And just remember to keep your eye a little bit at times on the green dot at the top, looking straight ahead. So this way, you're looking at the audience. These are just things that happen as you learn live streaming. So I tell every guest a little something. Hope you don't mind. I'm sorry.
No, not at all. Thank you for telling me.
I just want you to look your best for the viewers and for your fans. That's all. Got to keep your fan club happy. But look at the beautiful colors in these peaches and these figs and pears and cinnamon. Oh, I love cinnamon.
Yep, me too.
So, what goes in your head? What goes through your head, rather, about putting these compositions together and making them work just right? How long do you spend on each type of setup like this?
I get lost in them. If it's not a client work and if it's a personal work, mm-hmm. I usually get lost in them. Mm-hmm. And then I can spend anywhere between 2 to 6 hours just doing this.
Wow. Okay.
But how much? It's just when you have a critical mass of props, if you're working with just 6 props or 10 props and you don't have too many props, then it becomes a problem. You really have to think how to use them. Mm. But when you have a critical mass of collection of props, of mm. mood boards, of, mm. Of the food, then right. what happens is the creative juices just flow. Because you can bring in so many different elements and see how the image changes, how the styling changes. Mm. So it's just like playing. It's like children playing in the sand, pit, making a castle,
yeah.
brick.
Yeah. This is your playground, your sandbox.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So let me ask you, most people have to clean out their garage for many things. Do you have like a separate shed for all of this stuff? Do you have like a basement full of that? Where do you keep all this stuff?
Everywhere. You can see behind me. It's there. I need to move this a little bit to show you guys.
Okay.
That's where it's at.
Okay. So you have a lot more than that, I presume.
Oh, yeah. Those keep changing weekly. Every week there's something new there.
Because I was amazed going through all these photos. You know, let me tell you something. Going through these photos, you inspired me so much that this weekend I'm going to go out. I do a lot of nature photography now. I used to document the NYPD years ago for 10 years and did a huge project on that that ended up on Law and Order and stuff and to this day. But you've inspired me to go out and look better at light. I mean, I always look for great light, but now I'm going to look at the even more details and even more light. I did it last night. There was some clouds and light going on. I ran out of onto my deck, and it wasn't as what I expected. But you're going through your work this week inspired me so much.
I love your perspective. I always want to get into your brain and know what you're thinking, because sometimes I look at your pictures and it's like, how did he get that? I saw a picture where there's water and there's, you know, someone on top. And I'm like, how did he manage to picture this?
Oh, that must be the photo I took just last week that I stumbled upon.
Yeah.
In Ramapo Valley that you're talking about. And everything, but I'll show you that in a bit. But I want to stick to your work. Edward has a question. Edward's questions are epic, and I love Edward because he's one of the biggest fans of this show. And but he is a question master. So let's get to his question before the 10:30 mark. See, he says, amazing. Welcome, Edward, by the way, and good morning. Amazing color and tonal range. Here I can see how your experience in other art forms has influenced your photography. I too started with drawing, painting, sculpture, and finally photography. And I am convinced it helped me become a better photographer. Your work is gorgeous, incredible art. Wow. Bravo.
Thank you, Edward. That was so kind. Thank you so much. And I totally agree with you. Every bit of art that I have drawn has contributed to, you know, creating these pictures or helping my brain become creative.
Bravo to Edward. I mean, thank you so much for that question. So let me ask you a quick thing here. While we're on this, before we move, Mark Lee says these food pics, we'll read comments as we see them because questions are one thing, but comments I want to acknowledge. These food pics are making me hungry early in the morning. So Mark, Simi, ask Mark the big question. What are you going to eat?
What are you going to eat, Mark? Which one do you want? What do you want us to serve you?
So anyway, John Quincy's here. What aperture, he says, do you use most for these shots, Simi?
So if I'm doing a very light and airy, mystical kind of a shot, say I'm using my 50 mm, I go down to 1.8 or a 2, really shallow depth of field to create that dreamy look. But okay. If I'm doing a spice, moody picture which has a lot going on, probably I'll go to a higher f-stop just to make sure everything is in focus. It's dark and moody. So really depends on, you know, what I'm shooting.
Okay.
What I'm trying to achieve there.
Anindya, I hope I pronounced his name right. Did I, Simi? Do you think? Anindya?
Yeah, Anindya. Yes.
Anindya. Okay. Hello. Good morning to you. Who is Simi's inspiration? Simi, who's your inspiration? I was going to have that as a question. Anindya beat me to the question. Go ahead.
Hey, Anindya, thanks for joining. And we are Facebook friends.
Oh, so, good.
My inspiration comes from, I think it's everywhere. It comes from nature because I think nature is the best artist. No one can beat, none of us can beat nature because look at the color combination, look at the light and shade, look at the play of different things in nature. Right. That's one. The other thing, my mom's art, of course. Then I've been influenced by a classical Renaissance artist, especially the Dutch food and still life painters, which have used chiaroscuro form of art.
Okay.
And I'm always looking at and thinking, how could anyone have drawn something like that?
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. I'm sure Anindya really appreciated that. So we love this. You know, the special thing about doing this Spinach Social Hour, Simi, is being able to engage with the crowd, engage with your fans, engage with the Spinach Social fans out there. And it just brings me a lot of joy to my heart. Actually, you know, I was pronouncing your name Joie. Because, and then I finally got that it's Joyce from you. Silly me, I speak fluent French, so I keep saying joie for some reason. But you know what? Your photos bring us what we in French call joie. So that's the beauty of your name too.
Thank you. And you know, I keep missing.
But one of the things I want to get to before we go on to another section here is tell people. So are you going to? We'll show at the end too some other advertisements for your courses. But people will be able to sign up for these types of courses with you even online, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow, that's such a treat. I mean, I'm Jonathan and I may do a combo course on this. Jonathan is my co-producer, helps me so much with this show, getting great questions together, organizing. I'll bring him on in a bit. And I'll actually bring him on right now for a second. Good morning, Jonathan. How are you, buddy?
How do you do?
I'm just fine. Everybody, this is Jonathan Borstein. Jonathan, tell everybody about yourself real quick.
I am a full-time flaneur, a sometime writer, and part-time tech at your service.
And the man of a million hats. What do we say about you, Jonathan?
Not quite a million.
What do we say about you? You have major hattitude, right?
But
anyway, Jonathan and I may take this course. So, Jonathan, thank you so much, sir, for driving the car behind these scenes and putting all the comments and questions up. Thank you. See you soon, buddy. All right. So, anyway, I wanted to bring him on real quick, acknowledging my co-producer there is a really important, and he does such great work with me every week, and I really love having him. So, let's see. Mark says, I actually think what you are doing is the hardest to do, but it is usually the first thing that art classes try to teach, which is stationary items like plants and fruit. Who do you think they try to teach the hardest? Why do you think they try to teach the hardest thing first?
I've never been to art school.
Oh.
So I'm not aware of how it is. What my mom is also self-taught, and we had like tons of books at home, and my sister went to art school. So I know a little bit that how they teach still life and they put that. And I feel, and I could be wrong here, the reason why probably they do the hardest things first is to train your eye to see form, you know, to see the form, to see colors, to see how if there are multiple objects interacting with each other, what's mm-hmm. the relationship, how the light is falling, so that you start training your brain to see a particular way.
Okay.
I could be wrong, and I would love to have, his opinion on it.
Right. Well, Mark, if you want to type out your opinion in short form so we can fit it on the screen, we'd be sure to show it if you have an opinion on it. Mark is a wonderful supporter of many shows. I saw Rose Horowitz is watching. I've seen Pradnia is watching from Silver Springs, Maryland. Good morning to everybody. I'm catching the names as they go by. I'm so thankful for you being here. We have 30 plus live viewers already, and we have dozens of comments and questions. We'll get to them little by little. There's Pradnia now. She's tagging people. Steve Taylor, one of the really great live stream producers out there with our Digi Mentors group, who I work with hand in hand on many events. Tim Sohn, Steve Taylor is a big foodie, by the way, Simi, from Philadelphia, and he takes really great food photography too. Tim Sohn is here. Anyway, what a beautiful crowd to bring everybody on. But let's get to more of your work here. And, you know, the beautiful thing that I want to talk about for a second here is you've also done these amazing photos of these books, working with, I quoted her in the beginning with her beautiful words for you, Monica Bidet. And she is an awesome writer who's written this beautiful book called Karma and the Art of Buttered Chicken. She's also written what else? Why don't you go through these, Simi, and tell us what she's written here? Actually, you know what? Why don't we do something better? Why don't we have a conversation?
Oh my God. Hi, sweetheart. So happy to see you.
I love doing this with people.
Oh my God, you made my day. That was amazing.
You made my day too. I'm so happy to be here. Oh,
man, both of you made my day because I love doing this. It's so much fun. It's like The Price is Right or something where you bring somebody on and they start screaming.
I'm just so excited to see her.
Anyway, everybody, this is Monica Bidet. And she is an incredible author, a wonderful author. Monica, why don't you introduce yourself for a second, and then we'll have you two have a conversation about your collaborating together.
So I am the writer behind Simi's beautiful photographs. I am a big, huge, huge fan of Simi's work. And we've worked together, I don't know, on like 4 or 5 covers now together. We've worked together for 10 years. And I'm one of those crazy people who will go randomly look at her portfolio and say, can I have this picture? And she'll be like, do you have something to, do you have a story? Do you have anything? I'm like, no, I'm just so inspired by your photograph. I'm going to go write something. I adore her work. Absolutely.
Well, Simi, I said I was going to arrange a surprise. So why don't you talk about your collaborating together for a good 5 minutes? I designated, you know, that time for you guys so you guys can have a conversation and teach our viewers about working together.
Well, let's talk about this one. This was the first ever.
Yeah. You guys take over for 5 minutes.
So this came to me when I didn't have anything, when photography was my hobby. So Monica put it up on social media that, you know, she's looking for a photographer. And I said, okay, maybe I can ask if Kai could be. And she's a big name. So I was like, you know, what does it take? She might say no, but that's fine. So I reached out and I say, I would love to, you know, take photographs of the book cover. And she said, yes, right away. And then I was scared because I was thinking, wow, how am I going to pull this off now? Because she's a renowned author. And here I am, a hobbyist trying to do professional work. Mm-hmm. But she put me so much at ease. We spoke and, you know, that I didn't feel she was up there. And I was trying to, you know, reach up to her work. I felt absolutely comfortable. Her brief was to the point and gave me a lot of creative freedom. And that's what I love working with her, because she will narrate me the story and she'll say, go do what you can. Mm-hmm. And then we brainstorm. It's like, it's not like she's giving me work and I'm doing work for her. It's like we work together to create the best we can as a book cover.
Well, I have to tell you, you know, I'm just going to interject for 1 second because I feel it's important. And I just wanted to acknowledge who brought us all together in the beginning. Was it's been at least maybe 6 years. But, you know, I was in New York and I met Monica at a lunch, a beautiful lunch with Sri Srinivasan, who I work with hand in hand and you guys know about. And Sri brought me along and we had a wonderful lunch at a beautiful Indian restaurant, I remember. I don't remember what I had, but I'm sure it was
butter
good.
Chicken.
What's that? Butter chicken? Silly me. I mean, of course I had butter chicken. Oh, my God. Anyway, but the thing is that I loved learning about Monica. And then I loved learning, about, of course, about the photography, given my background of photo editing at the Times for 20 years and everything else. And being a photographer. So, you know, you guys just do some beautiful collaboration together. And I love this cover. Monica, tell us real quick about this book. It's such a beautiful title.
Well, I'm actually going to do you one better and tell you about the photography, since that's what this is about.
Please.
So one of the things to note, if you actually go back to that first cover that she did for me, I want to say something. So here, okay. So when I gave her the brief, it's a book obviously about, you know, my life, which is interconnected with food. Mm-hmm. But what happens a lot of time with covers is that there's just a picture. It doesn't really tell a story. In this case, if you notice, the star anise, is one of them is broken.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the idea, is that there is perfection in the imperfect life.
Okay.
So every single cover that I have ever done with Simi has that. And now if you go back to the Karma cover.
Sure.
I wanted to show you something, the attention to detail in this cover. So for instance, in this cover, the protagonist in the book has a tattoo on his wrist. Now, if you look real carefully under those beads that he's wearing, Simi had actually
the
tattoo.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
We'll keep the name of the model secret unless she wants to share.
I will. I will.
She has a very secret connection to the model on the cover. But yeah. You know, this entire photograph, I know she took so many shots and the lighting had to be perfect and all of that. But more than anything else, there's so much soul in the picture. So there's a kettle in the back because he loves tea. Tea is a large part of the book. The way he's holding it, presenting it for the protagonist, food was his life.
Wow.
And the way that it's presented, it shows you the love and reverence that he has. Those are not my words. Those are her pictures. So someone has to be able to pick this up and go, oh my God, this person must love food. Let me read it. And that's what she does for me. So I know my 5 minutes are up, but I love
it. No. It's no, they're not. We can listen. If this is our show, the community show, if we go a little longer, then fine. Let's take this question here and comment from my good friend, David Guzman. And good photography engages the visual. He is a master chef, by the way. Oh my God. I want to move and be his neighbor.
Me too. I want to photograph all his work.
I look at his photos. You have to follow him, by the way, on Facebook. Become friends with David. David is amazing chef. Oh my God. I have to live next to him. I want to eat everything he makes. Anyway, he says good photography engages the visual senses with color, light, shape, depth of field, composition. Wow. Great photography engages all of the other senses with texture, olfactory, auditory, tactile, taste. Woo, he's getting knee deep in this here. We can not only see, but almost smell, hear, feel, and taste the 5 taste receptors. Salty, sweet, bitter, sour, and umami. Taking us on an unforgettable sensory journey. I'm hungry. Can I go to lunch now?
No, me too.
Wow. Well, how about, I mean, is this crowd amazing? Look at the questions and the comments. I mean, these people mean business here with you guys.
No, I feel that. I feel that her photography does all of that. I think some of Simi's best work is yet to come. If you've never seen her photography with steam, it's remarkable. She's been doing some pictures for me for an upcoming book where we're playing around with smoke and steam and things like that. And to make steam come alive as if it's some sort of spirit and things. I mean, there are very few people who can capture that. I think you're just seeing the tip of the iceberg of this woman's talent. Honestly.
Well, you know what? And she's all, let's mention as we'll let you go after this so we can get to more of her work. And I'm so thankful to bring you on and for you to be on with us and share your sisterhood together, as I would call it. And she even did this beautiful cover for you for a thing of poems, right?
She did. She and her husband were out and about photographing this. I think I may have caused a few family rifts about where I wanted that scarf and where he wanted it and where she wanted it. And by the end of it, we had 200 pictures, but that one worked out the best. And we all loved it.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And folks, I want to quickly just give these titles again for Monica. So you go out and get her books and read them. Karma and the Art of Buttered Chicken is one. Telltales, Poems, Monica Bidet, cover image by Simi. Another cover image, A Life of Spice. I want to check this one. I know David is going to check this one out, right, David? And then, so get it, do a snapshot, David, but I'll always have it for you. Don't worry about it. And then Inspiration for Creative Minds. Well, you know what? That one's for me. Because my mind is always moving about creativity. So anyway, you know, Monica, thank you so much for coming on.
Pleasure.
You made Simi smile. You made the whole world smile this morning. Thank you very much.
I love you guys.
Thank you so much, Monica.
Love you.
Oh, Monica, tell everybody quickly how they can find you online. I forgot to put a banner up about you.
You can find me at monicabidet.com, Facebook at Monica Bidet, and at Instagram.
So. Okay, and it's Bhide, folks. Monica, Bhide, Bidet. Find her online, get her books, read about her, connect with her. All right, Monica, thank you.
Take care, guys. Love you.
Bye-bye. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
All right. So did I surprise you or what?
Oh, yes, you did. And that was fabulous. I loved it. Thanks.
Good. That's my pleasure. My pleasure. I love to do that with guests. So let's get to some other goodies here. And do we have any more comments and questions first? Let's get to that. I see a lot of stuff building up there. So let's take a look and see if we're going to field any as we go on. If we do, we'll grab them, so no problem. So let me say this. You know, when I walk in a store, whether it's a yarn store, a needlepoint store, not that I walk into a lot of yarn and needlepoint stores, but I just don't do that. I know a lot of men that do, and I think it's amazing. They do great work. But when you walk in a store like this, I mean, you're probably like me. You're probably nuts, right? Trying to see what you're going to create, what you're going to bring home, right?
Absolutely. And this one is, believe it or not, from my mom's, mom's studio.
Oh, okay.
So my mom is not just an oil paint artist. She also does work with her thread, and all her portraits are done with thread.
Oh, okay.
So just the way it was lying one day, the light was falling on it. I was like, I need to take this picture. It was so compelling because it's
wow.
So beautiful.
Wow. You know, one thing I forgot to tell you, because we want to make sure everybody keeps sharing this broadcast with their friends and family and network, is also, if you have your phone next to you, I want to make sure you shared it on Facebook. Did you share it yet? I want to encourage you. Oh, it's okay. If you don't have it, you'll do it right after the show.
I was being a good, guest and keeping my phone in the other.
Good. Let's worry about that. Everybody else, share Simi's work. So
thank you for sharing, everyone.
So everybody learns about her and buys her beautiful photos, hires her to do work. She has work. Edward says the third quality is amazing. Like I can reach out and grab the spools of color thread. Bravo. Thank you. What a beautiful comment. Well, your mother is very talented, and we're going to get to that too, because I never exclude mom. And but, you know, walking in a sweet store, for example, tell us what it's like for you walking in food stores. I mean, do you stay in there for like an hour?
This particular sweet store, I stayed for an hour and I begged them to take me to their, to their kitchen just to photograph. And the only condition they let me in was I'm never going to publish them or share them on social media. I said, that's fine. I want to do it for myself because I just love food. And it was an incredible experience. I just,
Right. Well, I understand that, because when you walk into people's kitchens with health inspectors and this and that, I understand with restaurants especially, they don't want people in there unless it's planned,
Exactly.
And we get that. Hopefully they're all doing what they need to do. And I'm sure they are. But, we want to make sure that our restaurateurs are safe and in business, especially right now. Oh, the hit that they're taking. My heart goes out to all restaurants. And please, folks, support your small businesses, support your photographers, support your nonprofits. Do it right, folks. This is a struggle right now around the world for everybody. Let's help each other out. We're all in this together. Okay, as I remind everybody every single day online. But tell us about some of this other work I'll be going through here briefly as we go on each picture. What a gorgeous image.
So this one was shot for a book. It's a coffee table book that's still a work in progress. Mm-hmm. And this was one of the pictures that, I took when I was taking out the book, but I took this for my portfolio.
Wow, gorgeous.
So basically, the theme was ancient, antique, because spices have such an old history,
right?
To bring that out. So to bring the story of spices as an ancient food or an ancient, culinary, whatever you call that.
Yeah.
So that was the story. So I took an old tray and tried to make it moody and, make it look unaged food.
Wow.
So
it's just gorgeous. Just gorgeous. I mean, let alone wanting to eat all the spices, I would hang this in my kitchen in a heartbeat, anywhere in my house in a heartbeat. And then, oh man, I'm telling you, I went through this last night. Boy, was I getting hungry going through all this. I love red peppers, not very hot ones, but I do like sweet red peppers. And I love the contrast. I wanted to do these combos for you. I mean, look at the beauty of the reds and the shapes. What about the shapes, Simi?
So the shapes, when I'm in the grocery store, I'm the one of those people who are always irritated and hate because I'm looking at something in like 20 different angles. I'm picking the stuff. So I take a lot of time doing my, and it's, I love it. I love going to the grocery store, and all my friends think I'm weird because who likes to be in a produce aisle for 2 hours?
You know what? You do, and that's all that counts. Exactly. You know what? You may make others do that too. Mark says, have you ever done any pictures with? Good question, Mark. Mark's the best. I tell you, I love Mark. He's like a brother to me. We talk all the time. He had me on his podcast. He has a wonderful podcast. Google Mark Lee and podcasts. Check him out. Mark, if you want to type something up in the comments and put it up there, we'll show it. Have you ever done any pictures with food trucks? They are super popular in urban areas in New York City and others too, I think. Right, Simi?
Yeah, they are. I have done a couple. And of food trucks, and you know, I enjoy doing it because it's such a casual setting. It's not a very formal where you can't touch the food the way the chef serves it. That's the only way you can photograph it. You can do so much with it, and it's just fun. It's just fun. So yeah, one of them was an Indian restaurant, and the other one was, I think, a fast food. That was way back. So the other one was, I think, a burger place. Mm-hmm. So yeah, two of them, not too many.
So, you know, this is interesting. I love the engagement on this. Thank you so much to our viewers. I love you all. Thank you for participating in this conversation, because it really is a conversation. And that's the beauty of being a social media and visual strategist specialist, is bringing this all together with Facebook, Twitter. We're streaming live on at Spin It Social, and also hopefully LinkedIn soon. LinkedIn. Come on, people. All the corporate people out there need to know about these great photographers. So give me my okay to live stream on LinkedIn. Come on, you can do it. And, you know, the thing I was going to mention was that, sorry, I lost my train of thought for a second, is that you put together these other special things. Look at the things you get to play with. You get to play with fire. And I don't want to play with fire, by the way. But tell us about this one. This is stunning.
So this was shot in my home, and I was roasting some peppers. I always have my camera handy. So I was roasting some peppers, and I just took some, you know, I like to hear sounds of food when things are cooking. I love to have all the sensory, you know, experience when I'm doing photography or cooking. So I just put some water on it, and the flame went up like that, and it was just... And I just grabbed my camera and I did it again. And that's when, you know, this was made. Yeah.
So you put the pepper on the grill? On the burner?
Yeah, I put the pepper on the burner.
Wow.
And just put 2 drops of water so that there could be some steam that can come out.
Wow.
And there's a little steam on the top middle. Wow.
What did Edward say there? He had a great comment. Edward's the best. So I want to see is that comment again. Jonathan, can you find that comment from Edward? Something about, wow, the flaming peppers. I can hear the sizzle and taste in the photo. I love it. It's true. You can feel the heat. just great. So let's go on to some other beauty. So you do beautiful dessert photos too. I mean, you do it all. Let's run through these before we run out of time. And let's go through. But quickly, Simi, tell us about ice cream. That must be hard to work with. Do you only do it in the winter?
Oh, no, I love to do it in the summer because then I can eat them. So ice cream has, I've heard stories about, you know, ice cream photography. I don't know how true they are, that people have a recipe to do them, which are not really ice cream, and stylists have the secret ingredient, things like that. I'm not sure. I've never had that experience. I've always worked with the real food, real stuff.
Right.
And I think the why I love working with ice cream is it keeps me going. It's like running a marathon in a short amount of time.
Okay.
So it's going to melt. I know it's going to melt. So it's going to keep me on my toes, thinking, keep everything ready, the props, everything, the lighting, and then bring the ice cream in. And even then you get the wrong shot. And then how you are improvising and thinking and making the right shot before you lose all the ice cream.
Okay.
I think it's challenging, but it's just fun. That's part of the job, right?
Absolutely. While we're talking about that, because we were chatting during the week, prepping for the show and everything. By the way, everybody, welcome to the Spin It Social Hour. Whether you're mid coming in, late coming in, early coming in, this is a labor of love of mine that I've put together, that every week I interview and tell the stories and show the work. I let them tell their story of photographers around the world. I am a former photo editor at the New York Times for over 15 years and a social media and visual strategist. And it's wonderful bringing these photographers on to let you know about them every single week. But Monica, I'm so sorry we have Monica on. Simi, tell me, what's the wildest story that you've ever heard? I think it's the one you might maybe told me earlier this week about how some people may use something on meats. What was that about?
Yeah, I heard this when I was new in the industry that, you know, you need to use certain tools to make the picture look better, food look better.
Right.
It was like motor oil on meat. And I was like, this can't be true. Why can't you use the real glaze? But I've never seen that happen. It could just be a funny story floating around, or I don't know. But anyone I've worked with, any stylist I've worked with, never has used that. But I thought it was hilarious using motor oil on, you know.
I sure hope that's just a rumor.
So too, because I wouldn't want to eat that.
Well, no, because what would scare me is that if they forget and they mix the steak or something with something else and throw it on the grill and somebody's eating motor oil.
Oh, yeah.
And if so, let's hope that that's the case. But yeah, no, I mean, I've edited some amazing photographers out there, including Andrew Scrivani from the New York Times, you know, and other people. And I fell in love with food photography a long time ago. And yours has only fueled my passion for it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a good fan of Andrew, and his work is exceptional, as we all know.
Yeah, well, so is yours. And so, I mean, you even shoot, I mean, glassware. I mean, look, we're going to go roll through some of this other stuff. Look at these beautiful shots of this glassware and the lighting. And then, is this a mini pumpkin?
Yeah, it's a mini pumpkin. I just took a black and white just for fun.
Oh, I love it, though. I love the black and white. It's gorgeous. Wow, we have like 50 comments and questions building up. So let's see if there's anything else that we need to get to. As we go through any of this, I'm going to go and show some more. But let's check them out. And then, of course, there's the beauty of photographing such things as soup, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so... What's your favorite thing to photograph food wise? You may have mentioned this. I'm sorry, it's been a great conversation so far. So I'm so giddy about having you on. And what's your favorite thing to photograph food wise? And what's your least favorite thing to photograph?
I don't think I can pick a favorite. It's like if you have 10 kids and I ask you to pick your favorite, it's not going to be easy.
So Pradnia says, I know I should be commenting, but focused on tagging so many people. I want everybody to see this gorgeous work. What a kind gesture.
Thank you.
So go ahead, Timmy. I'm sorry. You were saying.
So I don't think I have a favorite, but I just love photographing, you know, soups, curries, spices, ice cream.
Let's put the brakes on because this is important. I'm sorry. Somebody may fault me for this. I have people that give me comments after the show, certain things I'm doing, but put the brakes on. Pradnia says, you may have mentioned this, but where can individuals, here we go, buy your prints? Where can they buy your print? Look at that, Simi. We're going to make some sales here, maybe.
Oh, thank you so much for asking that. So I don't have a print store yet where, you know, you can get my prints, but if you can send me a message, I can send you a link to my portfolio and my work, and then we can get talking. Just send me a friend request on Facebook, or I can send you a friend request, and then, you know, we can get started talking.
Okay. Well, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And all the friends she's tagging may want to buy a print. They're beautiful prints to have in your home, folks. So you were saying, I'm not going to cut you off again because these are both business things. So I want you to get business is that and people to know about you. So you really don't have a least favorite food. You just love it all, don't you?
I don't have a least favorite. Yes, there was a time which was challenging. So I'm a vegetarian.
Okay.
So I had to photograph an octopus for a client.
Ooh.
And that was the first time I was like, I need gloves. I can't touch this.
Okay.
Just like that. I know a lot of people love to eat octopus and just like what you're not used to, right?
Yeah, well, a photographer.
But I loved it. At the end of the day, I enjoyed the shoot tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a bit challenging. Other than that, I don't think
Well, a great photographer I had on as my first guest, my good friend Nick Curry, who I just adore his work and he's great. He's so talented. Nick does a thing now where he goes online sometimes on Facebook and shows people how he cooks. He's such a talented and great cook. he cooked squid this week. I have to go back and watch it because I love squid. I'm sorry I'm saying that to a vegetarian, but I love squid. My mom's a vegan, so trust me, I get it all the time. But anyway, and I have to watch his cooking lessons because I want to learn from him. But anyway, so what are we doing here, Simi? I keep saying Monica because we put Monica on. I'm sorry. That's the hazard of bringing two people on. Wait until I have six people on one day.
So what are we doing here? So this one, I'm the one who is modeling it as well. So I'm the photographer and I am the model too. So I didn't have anyone in my kitchen that day. So I was like, I wanted to take this picture. It was in my head. So I put the camera on the timer and I quickly ran and I had a plate behind where I had this all placed up and I stood in front of the camera and the camera clicked. So I must have tried at least 20, 30 shots before I was, you know, I liked something.
Wow. It is gorgeous. What are you doing here? Is it making, are you making
rice milk?
Rice milk. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's similar. It looks similar to the way Italians make mozzarella.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because I used to go into a store on Sullivan Street. I'm a born and bred Greenwich Villager. And I lived on by Washington Square Park. And on Sullivan Street, there used to be a small little bread and mozzarella, a cheese shop, I mean, across the street from St. Anthony's Church. And I used to go in there and they used to make the, as we say in Italian, the mozzarella right in the store there. And oh man, do I miss picking it up when it was warm and eating it? Oh.
Everyone's getting hungry now.
Oh, I know. I'm starving and I haven't had breakfast.
Hi, everyone.
Look at that. Okay, here, we're going to get you real hungry. What are we doing here, Simi?
So this one was baked by my daughter. She's, and whenever she's baking something, I always want to photograph it because she's so meticulous in her cooking.
Okay.
And it's always like about perfect slices and perfect shape.
Okay.
And that's her modeling it. So that's just some garlic bread with lots of cheese. And it was absolutely delicious.
Wow, it's beautiful. Well, hats off to your daughter. Good going, kiddo. Look at the beautiful lighting on these spices. Oh man, don't you just love jars like this?
I love jars. I have like so many of them.
I know.
They're sitting empty because I want to use them as props.
I know. I'm sure my good friend David, who you'll get to know, I'm sure he's going to friend you on Facebook because I know he wants to get to know more about your food photography and your love of food. Because, like I said, he's amazing. Look at this. What a work of art. Oh, man. Did you do this on your kitchen floor or somewhere?
Yes, these are homegrown tomatoes. This was grown in my backyard.
Okay.
I brought them in and I thought they were so organic. And, you know, that's what I like about homegrown. They're not picture perfect.
Okay.
Like you get in a grocery
store. Right, right, right. They have that rustic look.
Yeah. So, and the light was so beautiful.
Oh.
So I just changed a little bit. I had washed them because they were all muddy and they were, you know, sitting there to dry before I could refrigerate them.
Wow.
And the light was so beautiful. I changed, moved around a little thing some and added a few leaves.
Wow.
And I took the picture because I thought the light was just, you know, so dramatic.
Wow, beautiful. Folks, I hope you've been paying attention to Simi's website, her Instagram handles, everything that we've been putting down in the tickers below. Please check out her work at simijoyce.com. That's S-I-M-I-J-O-I-S, pronounced Joyce or Joie in French. And no, it's Joyce. I'm only fooling around, but I love light. Look at that beautiful light. Ugh. But it has that rustic look, you know, it's gorgeous.
Thank you.
And you're not just a master of lighting with foods, but look at this, folks. Look at the beauty that Simi can capture with guitars. And who's that playing the guitar, by the way?
Oh, that's my husband playing the guitar. He
nice.
Is a hobbyist. He loves playing the guitar. And I just love this guitar because it's such a beautiful, you know, shape there, and just the shine of the glaze and the buttons. So,
it's your photos are so gorgeous. We're going 15 minutes over today, folks. We're not rushing this. No way. We have 30 live viewers. Everybody's paying attention. I'm going for another 15 minutes with you on these. These are too beautiful to rush through. I wouldn't do that to you. So how long has he been playing the guitar? It's a beautiful guitar.
So he always wanted to play the guitar. About 6 to 7 years ago, we gifted him a guitar. My daughter and me surprised him. And then he started learning it. And it's been like 6 to 7 years now.
Wow, what a beauty. What a beauty. But you also do this beautiful outdoor settings. Oh, man, let's get this pandemic under control so I can come visit you.
Absolutely. That's my backyard.
Oh my God. I have to visit, and I'm self-inviting myself here. I'm sorry. That's very rude of me.
Absolutely. You are welcome. You know that.
Listen to me. I'm like, I'm going to visit. And she's like, oh boy, well, I'm talking about.
No, come and stay with us. We'd love to have you.
Well, let's get this pandemic under control first. God help us all. People, by the way, here's my weekly rant. Wear your masks, please. Everywhere you go, wear your masks. Take care of your fellow human beings, not only yourself. Take care of your elders. Take care of your children. Listen to the facts. Listen to the experts. And please listen to the real leaders and experts out there about what this pandemic is doing. And let's get this done. And let's make sure that we don't have another 100,000 dead. Okay, I'm sorry, but I'm tired of it. Everybody needs to get on board. Sorry, Simi, that's my rant.
No, I agree.
That's the way it goes.
That. Yes, I agree.
So you took this. Now, I stayed in Chicago for 3 days, 3 years ago with the Jackson Charitable Foundation, the Jackson Company too, working on the Rolling Stones exhibit, their classic tour that was at the pier. Where did you take this from?
So my husband is also a hobby pilot.
Get out.
Yeah. So so I told him one day that I need to go and photograph downtown Chicago in a beautiful, when it's beautiful and nice, and in either a sunrise or a sunset. He said, sunrise is hard. Let's do a sunset.
Wow.
So he took me up there. It was a surprise. He just told me, grab your camera. Let's go. I thought we were going to a walking trail or something.
Get out.
So we just flew over downtown Chicago. Wow. And I took a few pictures, and I'm forcing him to do this again this fall.
Oh my God.
It's not easy flying a small aircraft over downtown because there are a lot of rules and regulations that you need to follow.
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. What does Sesshu say here? Is it Sesshu or Sesshu?
Sesshu.
Sesshu. Pardon me, Sesshu. Now I know. Simi Joyce, can you talk about how you decide on selecting a background color as well as texture for table or cutting boards? Also, how are your objects propped up in front of your background without having them fall off? Can you expand on that for a brief minute?
Absolutely. Thanks, Sesshu, for joining us, and thanks for the question. So the first part of the question is that the color. How do I decide the color? Mm-hmm. So initially when I started off, I heavily relied on the color wheel, and I would ask myself, do I want it a complementary color or do I want to do, contrast? And now it's become almost intuitive, and I want to play around with colors. It's like, okay, I've never paired brown with, say, purple. Let me try doing that and see what happens. So now it's more like playing around with colors. But earlier, of course, I did it very thinking about it. There was a lot of thought that went behind it. Mm-hmm. The second question was, how do I have everything stay in place? I've never had an issue of anything really falling off the set. It's just that, I make sure there's a lot of space around the set so that I can maneuver things around and have them place there. I do sometimes have, when I need to level, because in food and still life photography, the question of level is always there, because the lens will always catch something a little tilted. So a little coin underneath a glassware always helps.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at it with your naked eye, it doesn't look straight. But when you look it through the lens or through the camera, it starts looking straight. So those are the little things I use otherwise. Okay.
Well, I wanted to quickly just go to some of those to show, and I'm going to backtrack here back to some photos I want to show of what else you can do. This is a gorgeous photo of Chicago, by the way. It could be in any magazine cover. It could be on any magazine cover. It could be on anybody's wall in a corporate setting. LinkedIn, I want my approval. I want to show off these talents on LinkedIn. Come on, move it. I'm only joking. LinkedIn's going to get so upset with me. They're not going to give me approval, but I'm being honest. look at this. Okay. Is this a nearby little airport where you get in your a plane your husband, I presume, rents?
Yeah, actually, they hired me to photograph for their website. Oh, so wow. This was a nearby airport, the Schomburg Airport.
Okay.
And luckily for me, it was a gorgeous sunset.
Wow, look at that.
We were doing headshots of pilots inside or instructors inside. And then I saw the sunset. I said, okay, we need to wait. This can wait, and we need to go out.
Stop. I have to run downstairs. You guys wait here. I got to get this. I do it all the time. Trust me. Photographers are notorious for that. I know.
Yeah, this is one of their best airplanes. It's called the Diamond.
Right.
That really wanted to showcase, and I think the sky did it for it.
Well, guess what? Nobody heed the note. Big executives out there, when a photographer tells you they need to run to do something and you need to wait, I know you're the CEO, but let me tell you this: we have a method to our madness, and this is the result of the method of our madness. So if she told somebody to wait, you sit comfortably, let her go do her job and come back. Okay, we got that straight? But look at this beauty of a hot air balloon. Now, were you in your husband's rent, the plane that he rented, or is this in another hot air balloon?
This was in a hot air balloon because I, for some reason I had this in my head that because of the window of the airplane, I can't have crystal clear picture because the window is not like a car window. It's not as clean and it's, it has issues. So we just took a hot air balloon ride over some rural area. And because obviously we can't do it in the city.
I've always wanted to do that. I have a cousin that lives
so much fun.
Yeah, I have a cousin that lives in the Sandia Mountains who raises and rehabilitates wolf dogs. And the Wanagi Wolf Dog Rescue Foundation. I'll tell everybody about that on another show. But anyway, she always wants me to come out, hopefully after the pandemic, to see the Albuquerque Balloon Fest, I think they call it.
Tell me when you're going, I'll join you.
Okay, you're on.
I'd love to photograph that.
But I understand your thing about cleaning plane and car windows. When I go on planes, until this pandemic hit, I actually am a nut. Stewardesses look at me and want to have my the men in the white jackets come on the plane because I'd clean plane windows while I'm on them. I bring my own tissues and Windex.
I love that.
And I clean the windows. Because especially if you're doing a West Coast flight, you get this amazing scenery. So I clean the window.
Yeah.
I won't be doing that for a long time with the pandemic though.
I know. Yeah, we should all be safe and stay.
Yeah. No cleaning plane windows for me for a long, long time.
Yeah, I agree.
So anyway, let's go through some others here because we don't want to go too far over the show. But wow, look at this beauty. I could fall in love with this time and time again. Where is this quickly?
This is Mussoorie, which is a hill station in the northern part of India. And those are the Shivalik Hills.
Oh.
And it's absolutely a gorgeous and a beautiful place. So my mom stays about 2 hours from this place. So we are
stunning, stunning, stunning. Oh, you know, I have a photo just like this that I took. You and I would have a ball hanging out together.
Yes.
I literally have one just like this.
Yeah, exactly.
I love trees and I love, you know, me would just look up, right? So,
yeah.
Gorgeous. Oh, I love that. The lighting is stunning. And this, it's like out of a fairy tale.
This was on a morning walk and I had my camera with me and I was on a morning walk and then I suddenly saw that and I was like, oh my God, look at that light.
Look at that.
It doesn't even look real. Everything is green and so beautiful.
It looks like I expect that to be like a fairy tale where some little pixies are going to jump out with magic wands or something. It's gorgeous. Oh my God. I love the depth of field. I love the color. I love the angle. I love the, you know, all the detail. And this, look at this work of art. I mean, this is just gorgeous. On a morning walk, probably?
No, this, I think there was a lot of birds. For some reason, they were so noisy. And I was writing something that day. I think I was writing my journal. And then I was like, what's that noise about? Then I went out. There were so many of them. I think I brought my camera out. Yeah. And probably they were having a party or something. Was
yeah. Gorgeous, gorgeous. And I love your work of flowers. And I'm going to whiz through a few of these because we don't want to go too far over. The tomatoes on the lawn there, the fruits. Look at these, folks. Check out Simi's website. Check out her her blog. Actually, I want to show the blog in a minute. Let's do that. Here's some beautiful. I love red onions. Oh, my God.
I love red onions.
And I love the purples. What a gorgeous texture and job you did with this. You know, peas. Oh, look at that. The snap peas. Beautiful, Simi. Beautiful, beautiful. Look at this. Look at this work, folks. You want these prints on your wall, folks. You want to learn from Simi, take her classes. Look at this. Oh, what a work of art. Tell us about this for 30 seconds, Simi.
So this rose was gifted to me by Monica. She sent me, she asked me, what's your favorite color?
How did I know that?
And I was like, deep blue. I think I like all colors, but I'm feeling deep blue today. So she sent me this rose. You know, it can last for a year.
Wow.
So now they make roses, real roses that can last for a year. So this lasted for 2 years for me.
Come on, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's incredible. Holy and God. I was enchanted by it. I was like, what? It'll last me a year?
Wow.
And it did. It lasted me almost 2 years, actually.
Wow. By the way, folks, I see 100 comments and questions now. We've been getting to a lot. We'll get to a few more right now as we scroll through some other stuff. But Simi and I will go through a lot after the show. Diana says, incredible photos. Thanks, Stefan. Great show. Diana, my pleasure. Thank you. Please share this broadcast with your friends and family. Orlando, I saw you had a comment up about this photo right here as being a, you know what? That's what it reminds me of, Simi. A Tolkien scene out of J.R.R. Tolkien books, you know, and movies. That's exactly what it reminds me of.
Wow.
Let's see what else we have. Pradnia, did you say something before about Simi teaching a workshop? We're going to get to that right now, actually, Pradnia. Let's get to some of the promo cards. Here's some of the other beautiful shots that she's taken. Look at this, folks. Look how beautiful that is on a Saturday morning to see. And we're bringing it to you right here on the Spin It Social Hour with these wonderful photographers. Oh, look at a grain. Look at a light. Look at that. Even rice. Look at that. The black rice. How beautiful. Look at the texture, the tone. And then here's what Monica was talking about, your series on steam. Tell us quickly about steam in a brief comment, Simi.
So I'm enchanted by steam because it's like, if you've ever done a painting where you take a sheet of paper, you put some paints, you fold it, and you don't know what shape is going to come out when you open it. Have you ever done that?
No.
Oh, so you should take a piece of paper, squirt some paint on it, different colors, fold it and rub it and open it, you get nice shapes.
Wow.
Which is a trick, but it's beautiful. It's a very fun thing I used to do as a child.
So how did you get them to look like they're above the steam? Did you put them up on some kind of transparent wire?
Oh, no. Those I just Photoshopped them.
Oh, okay. You know, listen, I know photographers and the extent they'll go to create something.
I just want to chop them up that they're flying.
Oh, so I love that.
The thing about steam is like you don't know what you'll capture till you see the picture.
Right, right. It's sort of like cigar smoke too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of smoking, but I'm sure there's some interesting photography to go around that. And I'm not denying anybody their vices, but that's up to them. But Sishu says he did the phonetic thing for me. So now I know how to pronounce it perfectly. Question for Simi. How has it helped you to focus on one genre of photography? Or do you feel you are a generalist and can handle a variety of assignments? Briefly, please.
So I am a food photographer and I do still life as well. However, I have at times gone beyond my comfort zone and done the shot I did for the local, you know, companies where, you know, it's not food and it's something else. Mm-hmm. So I think it's good to be diverse, because in times like this, it really comes handy. Then you're mm-hmm. not married to just one skill. Mm-hmm. So it's always good to do that. However, sometimes it can backfire and people don't know where you are.
Right.
You're all over the place with it. So right. It's like a fine balance that you need to maintain in your portfolio when you're putting online, that what kind of work do you do?
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Thank you for answering
that's
that.
Why when I am doing online, I'm mostly promoting myself as a food photographer.
Okay.
And if I do get other assignment, and if I'm comfortable doing it and I show the client what I have done previously, mm-hmm. and they are comfortable with me, then I take them up. Otherwise, I do refuse, because I rather have my name associated with good quality work than mm-hmm. have more work and less quality.
Okay, absolutely. Thank you for sharing all of that with us. So quickly, what is easier to photograph, food or drinks?
I think drinks are easier to photograph.
Okay.
Because they are transparent. They have rich colors. They have beautiful glassware. Of course, you have to handle and manage the reflection.
Right.
But I think they're fun. They don't go stale on the set. Of course, the ice will melt a bit and you have little issues of condensation
right.
and water dripping everywhere from right. condensation. But
so when you make a shot like this quickly, I'm sorry, I'll stop saying briefly and quickly, because I just, if this turns out to be an extravaganza of your work, that's fine. Let's do it. This is about you and making people know about you. There's still 25 live viewers and everybody loves your work. So let's roll with it. It's our show. If people want to hang on, they can hang on. I can produce the show in an hour. I could go an hour and a half with somebody as great as you. So let's talk about this briefly, because I don't want to just pass it over. How many times do you have to do something like this with everything splashing?
No, this is actually a composite of three pictures.
Oh.
So I took three different pictures.
Okay.
Flashing in each of the glasses and then merged them together.
Oh.
Because you have everything in, you know, four glasses flash, it'll be more of circus than photography.
Okay.
That'll be difficult. So I had my, I think I did two glasses together. I had my daughter and my husband help me there in the two big glasses, and the lower ones, you know, I did them before and I just put them together.
Okay. Well, that's great. Thank you for explaining that. It's beautiful, beautiful. Look at, I love the colors, how they blend together. And obviously you're getting this as it's being poured. The concoction is.
Yeah, that's me again.
Yeah, I had a feeling. So, you know, look at this. Oh, the beautiful red and the glass and the shadows and the light. Oh. And so let's talk quickly, because this is what we wanted to get to here at the end, everybody. If you'd like to learn about Simi's courses, she'll briefly tell everybody here about, let's start for an explanation about 101 photography, if you can detail it and summarize it for people about how they can take a course like this with you.
So I started teaching about 2 years ago and started doing online workshop. And the reason was so many people were asking me to, you know, help them see better. Mm-hmm. And since I'm self-taught, it becomes a little easier, because I can try and explain to them that anyone can do this. You know, if I can do it, you don't have to go to school. You can do it yourself. Okay. So the 101 photography program is for those who are really starting up. So there's 3-day workshop, about 3 to 4 hours each day.
Okay.
And day one is about camera. So it's all about how to shoot in manual mode. So you jump right into the water and you start learning how to teach in manual and how to shoot in manual mode. Day two is about food styling. Mm-hmm. So we talk about color theory, we talk about props, we talk about styling and composition, rules of composition. And day three is when everyone else is doing the shoot based on what they have picked up in day one and two. And I help them over Zoom, you know, arranging things. And these are small classes. These are not 20, 30 people. Usually I stick with 6 to 8 people. And so everybody gets time. And then if time zones don't work out, so we split it, the group again on the last day where we have three to four people per group. And it's really fun. And more than a workshop, it becomes like a place where like people meet and they share their passion, they understand and they learn together. And I've always learned a lot from, you know, trying to teach and help others. So Sheshu asks us that about the link to my workshops. So usually I announce my workshop on Instagram and my handle is Culinary Optics and or on Facebook. So that's where I usually announce it, even on my blog, Turmeric and Spice. And yes. So the other workshop that I have is about Moody. So how to photograph Moody images. And yeah. here I'm, you know, a lot of people like the darkness of images where it's the contrast, it's almost like chiaroscuro where the contrast is so heavy.
Okay.
Most people mistake Moody photograph to be dark and dull. It needs to be dull. It can be where the shadows are telling the story more than the light.
Okay.
So that's another workshop. Then I have a workshop, how to capture steam.
Yep, we see that.
I usually do in winter because to capture steam in summer is harder.
That's right.
That's usually winter, early spring.
That's workshop. Right. So yeah, no, everybody, I want everybody to see this real quick. So I'm going to quickly switch. Let's make sure we showed, sorry about that. Let's make sure that we quickly showed. So we have Learn Moody Photography with Simi. We have an online photography workshop on the magic of steam with Simi that you can join up and learn from her. Please check her out at Simi Joyce, J-O-I-S, that's SimiJoyce.com. Make sure you get to know all about her workshops on styling, on crafting the perfect photograph, group lessons, 101 in photography. And we're going to quickly show her blog here. So this way you also know where to find her that way. We're going to go here. And this is her blog. Write it down. And also we have a little banner for it. Turmeric and Spice right there. Memories Woven Around Food. She has a portfolio section, Work With Me, which will tell you all about that, where you can connect with her. Featured stuff, online workshop. Okay. So we want to connect with her that way. You guys do. And then one of the big things I have to show off here. You're welcome, Seishu. Thank you. I want to sign up for them all, he says. And I know Steve Taylor said he's going to sign up for one. And David says, Simi has a wealth of hard-earned knowledge. Wow, what a compliment.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Sheshu.
And what I want to do is I want to also let people know how good, you know, everybody already knows how good you are, but I want people to see here that you're even hooked up with Adobe. I mean, check that out, man. I mean, you've got your stock imagery on Adobe. Now we know that you are up here. I mean, we knew that already.
Thank you, Steve.
I mean, tell us about working with Adobe. I mean, briefly, you know, about how, you know, it's wonderful. You have your images up there.
So I started working with Adobe about 3 to 4 years ago. And this is a portfolio by Invite only. This is stock by Invite. It's called the Premium, Adobe Premium.
Ah.
So I was fortunate enough to be invited to join when they just started out and in their launch. And it's a great, I really enjoyed because the stock is managed by very few people and it's a very close-knit group. Mm-hmm. And each image is curated by curator and handpicked. And we've always constantly being advised what kind of images we want, what is the marketplace looking at. So I really enjoyed working with Adobe because though it's a big name, I don't feel that way because of the nature of people that I have worked with.
Right. Look at all this beautiful work up there, folks. So if you need great stock imagery, on food and still life and other great things, steam and you name it, lighting. Simi Joyce, JOIS on Adobe Stock Premiere. Check that out, how beautiful that is. Wow, what an honor. That's great. And so I'm going to quickly call that slideshow back up because I want to finish with that. And then we're going to have to say goodbye. But it's been a phenomenal hour here to talk, an hour and 20 minutes to talk about your work. But we needed to do it. Folks, Simi even does jigsaw puzzles with beans and lentils. I'm just joking. But look at that beautiful art there that she's created with all those beans and lentils. I hope you cook them afterwards.
You know, you won't. I first mixed them. It got all mixed up because they're like that. I sat and separated them out.
Wow.
Crazy. Wow. And I was like, I have to do it. You know, it's.
But here's Simi in the kitchen doing a little work there. We will have to get to that on another show because we're going way over here. But here's also Simi at work in her house doing this beautiful work. Here's Simi with her students. When you were doing this in person, I know you've traveled to India to do it too. How many people are usually in your class?
So we've had as little as about 12, 15 to as much as about 40.
Wow. Okay. What's your optimum number of people in a class that you like to teach? What's too many? What's too little?
I think I like to teach, if I'm doing online, about 7 or 8. If I'm doing in person, about 20, 25, right. I think a good number.
Right, right. That was silly of me. I asked how many, too little. There's never too little.
Yeah. Even if there is one student, they signed up for something.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it takes, I do teach it, even if it's one person signed up.
Well, that's, thank you, Debbie. That effort, that's so right? Wonderful. He just said, this is the most engaging show to date. Well, look at all this beautiful food photography. You know how I am about food, man. I'm a foodie, so I get excited about food. But let's close it out here with a few other goodies. Look at this. I mean, Simi even does these beautiful creations of her own selfies. Look at that. Here's step one, step two. Look at that, folks. Talent par excellence, extraordinary skills here. But we're going to quickly mention that you draw too. Look at that.
Thank you. I'm amazed at what all you've pulled up. It's amazing how much work you put into this.
Hours and hours,
I'm sure.
I love to do this for our photographers. I love my photographers. I love their work. Look at that beautiful drawing you did. Wow, you are so talented. And then, wait a minute, we're going to close the show out here on a note for and props for mom. This is Simi Joyce's mom. Simi, tell us about mom here. Look at this.
So the left one here is the man playing the, it's not a guitar. It's called an ektara. It's just one wire. Right. So that's an embroidery. That's not a painting.
Get out.
Yeah, that's an embroidery.
Wow.
And it's done by an ordinary sewing machine. It's not even those high tech. Her dad gifted her. She's 81 now, and her dad gifted her a sewing machine when she was 16 or 17.
Wow.
And her brother challenged her to make a portrait, and that's how it all started. She said, "Oh, fine, I'll do it." So that's and she's still using the same sewing machine for her work, and her name is Jaya Vichala. And the right one, the one with the man with the hands folded, is an oil. And that's more recent of her work. And now she doesn't do so much thread because, it's
her hands. Her,
she does more of an oil. She does more of oil.
Yeah.
But, yes.
Wow. Absolutely. You tell mom that I said her work, it belongs in a museum. It is gorgeous.
She's had several exhibitions in India.
Good.
And a lot of, she actually even gifted one to Bill Clinton. And she received a letter of a thank you letter from his office.
Wow. Amazing. Mom, amazing work. I'm in love with your work. I'm going to learn more about you once we get offline here because I want to check this work out. Amazing that she did that by hand. And the oil on the right at her age doing that kind of work. Wow. God bless your mom. She's so talented.
Thank you.
Obviously it runs in the family. So and so, folks, we're going to close out the Spin It Social hour and a half today.
Where did you get that from?
And I go digging in your, watch out photographers, I find everything.
I know, you're like a detective.
I want to let everybody know this is the lesson from today, the moral of today, and the big lesson from today with your family and kids and relatives. Please encourage their creativity, encourage the beauty of what they do, encourage their talents, and let them fly with it like birds. Because this little girl right here in the background with the pigtails, I presume that's you, right?
No, the little one, the little one. The little one.
Oh, my God.
That's me. That's my older sister.
All right, I messed up. Serves me right for not checking. But folks, this little girl here, we're looking out at the camera like, what are you doing? Grew up to be this amazing talent here, and she blessed us by coming on today to tell us her story, to share her work. I should have adjusted my screen a little more earlier, but whatever. I'm too into your work, and I'm like a kid in a candy store. So, Simi, I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on. I hope you get a lot of people connecting with you. There's over 114 comments and questions, which is amazing. We took that extra half hour for you because you deserve every minute. Every minute.
Thank you so much for all the effort, for what you do for the community. And thank you. I don't know what to say. I'm so grateful.
That's enough. Thank you. Thank you is more than enough. And you know what? I love it. I love everything about all the work our photographers do. So thank you very much. I'm going to close out now. Stay on
the scene. Thank you everyone for joining us. And I'll try and answer all the questions over the weekend. I really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Right. So stay on. I'm going to come back to you. I just got to do some housekeeping. Okay. Real quick, folks, I'm going to now go and I'm going to tell you about a bunch of things in rapid fired fashion here. I'm going to start with next week's guest because that's the most important thing here. No, that is this week's guest. Here we go. Next week, folks, join me for another great Spin It Social Hour. Talking with my guest and good friend, I call her my sister, Arlene Shulman, New York City based, Instagram, Arlene's Bodega. I love it. She's running around New York still, doing photography, doing blogging. She's the great host of a show called, Nick Curry, Pastrami a Go-Go. We're going to learn all about that and her photography on boxing. She's did a whole book on boxing. Classic work with some big boxers out there in the past. So we're going to learn about Arlene. Please join us next week. And I want to also tell you about a great workshop, a course, Sri Srinivasan, my dear friend and dear colleague, Muckrack Academy's Fundamentals of Social Media. Bring your social media to an A game, folks, with Sri's course for journalists, PR pros, and everyone, including kids. Sign up at mrac.co/social, hashtag MRA social. Connect with Sri. And tomorrow, tune in for the Sunday NYT read-along being guest hosted by Neil Parekh, the wonderful producer of the Sri Sunday read-along, the NYT read-along. And tomorrow, his guest is Claire Smith, my ex-colleague at the New York Times, who she's amazing. What a writer in the Writers Hall of Fame for baseball. And she's just incredible. The first woman inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame Writers Wing. Yes. And a current ESPN news editor. So tune in for this NYT read-along, a global affair and a family affair, all of us. And then finally, tune in for a new show called She's On Call, Sundays at 11 a.m., where you'll learn about Dr. Sujana and Dr. Marina talking all about the current COVID crisis, produced by my friends Rose Horowitz and Julia Weeks and Vandana Menon, and also the big behind-the-scenes and all-together producer of the show that it made it happen. She's On Call is Sri Srinivasan. But the workhorses of the show are Rose, Julia, and Vandana. So tune in and check that show out. So thank you very much, folks, for everything. And please tune in next week. So I'm going to say a quick goodbye. Say bye, Simi, one more time.
Bye, everyone. Thank you so much.
All right, folks. So tune in next week for the Spin It Social Hour. We're out of here, folks. Thank you very much. Take care, be well, and stay safe.